Hello and welcome to the 21st Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by All Boys manager Liam Buckley and defender Tommy Miller. Liam, welcome to Podcast HQ.
Hello.
Tommy, thanks for coming back for a second time. We obviously didn't put you off last time.
No, it was always fun.
Hey, we were talking about last. You had tons of listens last time. I don't know if you were paying people to but it was one of our most listened to episodes, I think it was, Dave.
I listened to it like 50 times. Yeah, it was surprised me.
Yeah, if you could do the same next time,
yeah,
great,
no
Tommy,
problem,
to be honest.
No problem.
We could do with a bit of a shot in the arm with the old listenership. We've got you in. Got lots to discuss today, lads, including it's semi-final Saturday, which is the last four in both the FA and Woods Cup this Saturday. But before that, it's time to reflect on All Boys' season. It's fair to say, if you looked up inconsistent in the dictionary, there's a good chance there would be a team pick of you guys. I don't know if you think I'm being a bit harsh there, but looking at your play, played 16, won 8, drawn 1. Lost 7, so you are pretty much right down the middle. Yeah. You're bang in the middle of the league.
We've said it though a lot though, because of the problems with the pitch, you haven't been able to get consistently enough games going, have you?
Yeah.
Would you say that's the biggest issue, Liam?
I would say mainly, rough, obviously around winter time, mainly from December through to now in March, because I think we've only played like four or five league games, in an FA Cup as well in that, since December. The pitch is awful. Everyone that knows has played up Old Boys before. It's a cow field at the end of the day. But we do put thousands into the pitch, every season. It's not that we're not just turning up and cutting it. It gets 30 drained, every year. So a lot of work does go into it, but it's keeping the players interested when, you go like 3 weeks without a game. Sometimes we've been for there's almost, 8 weeks without a game sometimes. Yeah. And, it's hard keeping the players happy, keeping them turning up to training, knowing, they're always asking me, is this game going to be on? I'm thinking, well, yeah, it's going to be on, just to make them sure they're turning up to training. Knowing it's going to be on, like so, but they've sussed me out on that one at the moment, like so.
I think the difficult thing is, with regards to the field, is when we played against Russian, which was, I think, in early January, somebody said that they'd played 8 times in the time that we'd played our previous game.
Wow.
So in those games, and I had to come off injured in that game, and even against St Mary's on Saturday, we're just not sharp enough. Well, not sharp, but not fit enough. So we're running out of steam quickly, and I think that playing all the time, that consistency, that's not there for us. And you can only get so much from training in the day. But we are ultimately to blame for our inconsistency as well, because like me, sometimes we're not getting people turned up to training. If we know if it's pouring down during the week, we know the game's going to be off, then excuses come from players. They've got this and they're doing that. So, ultimately, Old Boys should be doing a lot better than what they are.
Well, we say this every week. You look at your squad on paper. Fantastic squad.
We've
got top four squad.
We as players and as a squad and as a coaching team, it falls on us, because on our day, I thought we could have won that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's against the currently the best team on the island. And so it shows that we can do it, but I don't think our attitudes are what other squads are. And I think that is what it boils down to a lot. I think we have to take some responsibility for that.
Definitely.
There are external factors, but ultimately it comes down to us, really.
But that must give you a good confidence boost for the rest of the season.
Definitely. I mean, okay, went in the changing rooms after the game, and we knew we'd give Mary's a really good game. And obviously, speaking to Alex Harrison after the final whistle, he said, it was the toughest game they've played all season, which, confidence for me, knowing that I've got that squad of players. Obviously, going into the Laxey game this week, it's a bit like, a few players are away, a few more players are injured. Ryan Gartland's out now for the rest of the season.
He's
broken a bone in his foot and tore his ligament in his ankle.
I cursed him because we were training on Tuesday and there were so many divots, and I'm trying to stamp them out of my feet, and I said, this pitch is going to claim somebody.
And
then, like, literally a minute later, he just heard this squeal, and we're like, there it is then.
Yeah, he was rolling around in agony, but... Yeah, it's massive confidence for the lads, but obviously, I need to, take this into the Hospital Cup run.
Yeah.
We start against Pulley a week tomorrow, which will be a tough game because Pull Roads are obviously, definitely not. And we're our own worst downfall when it comes to, like, lower teams, no disrespect, but, like, teams like we played this season, like Moran at home, Douglas Royal at home, You know, we've obviously gone into the game thinking that, you know, it's going to be easy for us, and, you know, we've come off absolutely devastated, you know, and against Royals we were absolutely smoked in words, you know, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's, I keep on saying, you know, that's being nervous, you know, coming in, I've been,
I mean, we've got a little bet on because of Manx Radio, I think you said it about 150 times, and we're just trying to see if we can beat that tonight.
Robbie Ward did send us a message, and he did mention this. So.
I think all the lads have been on to me about that, so I've just noticed myself saying that for the first time there, so.
Going back to what Liam said, though, we've got 14 people missing this weekend, suspensions, injuries, people off the island, so... You know, it's so difficult to be consistent and to get like a run of, you know, we're playing with different players in different positions every week, and it's almost square pegs round holes all the time.
It's going to be a difficult game anyway because we'll talk about it a bit later on in more depth. But it's Laxey's. This is do or die for them. Basically, they need the 3 points, or that's them Division Two next season. So the pressure, they'll be so up for this game.
Usually, and it's going to be it's at their place as well, isn't it? You know, so yeah. I was just in the gym before and I seen Fernandez, and he's a big old unit, him, and he's fast as well. And I'm thinking, I hope he plays against Kinger on Saturday, and I'll deal with him.
Well, he's been playing midfield this season, centre mid, so
he's a definite handful, you know. So they've got threats, haven't they?
I was just going to say that, Liam, because you've got some games in hand. You've only played 16, so you've got 6 games left to play with my master, right? Yeah, you could still finish top 4, top 5, which would be, you know, if you win every game, which would be great at the start of the season.
Have you seen the fixture list, though?
Yeah, but
it's not possible.
No, but it gives you something to...
You showed you could play well against St Mary's. Why not the rest of
them? Well, it's not just St Mary's we played well against this season. No, I think we should have took some points off Geordie's at home at the start of the season, obviously beating Rushen as well. But as it goes down to that building that momentum, you know, and you know, I think now I don't think there's going to be many games called off now, and I think soon as well, we're playing league fixtures, we'll be playing either on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, whatever it is this week, and obviously if we go on a cup run, it'll be every Saturday. It's just building that momentum, but you know, let's just take one game at a time. But I think Old Boys will have big say where the league title goes this year, because obviously we've got to play Mary's twice, home and away, and they won't want to play us.
No, not after Saturday.
Not after Saturday, no way. Even Alex said that. I hope he's going to listen to this. And then we've got, obviously, Geordie's away, and we've got Peel also at home.
Mm-hmm. We played against Geordie's, actually. I remember a senior said that was the most difficult game they'd played, because for an hour, we were by far a better team. And we hit the frame a couple of times, and eventually, you know, the tide swung, and they were on top, and we just couldn't hang in there. But... you know, we've definitely bloodied a few noses this year, and you know, with our very, very best 11 or 14, we're capable, and I think everybody knows that. But it's just that inconsistency, and you know, that's what we've got to fix that.
Yeah, I've spoken to you a few times during the season, Liam, and one of the players that stood out for you has been JJ Blander, isn't it? Is there any other players that have particularly impressed you?
Because obviously I had JJ last year with me for playing for the Combi, and obviously Kian Jock-Heggan.
Yeah.
He's come on heaps and bounds, and he's I think he's started the second most games for me this season, just behind Kinga, I think it is. He's been brilliant.
Adam has obviously had a big impact this season as well, and he's been asked to train with the Arms. As a right back, though, is when he thinks he's a right midfielder, but he's not. He's an attacking right back.
But he's had his injuries and stuff this year as well. So he tells me every day, he messages me every day. You know, I've got this injury, that injury, I can't make training. But as I say, it's just as Tommy mentioned before. It's like I don't think. In the space of like 2 weeks I've played the same team.
Wow.
It's been different people coming in up from the Combi. I think when we went down to play Maloo in the cup game the other week, it was like, I think
we had
three
Combi subs, didn't we? A couple more in the team.
I think I was, again, like Tommy mentioned, about 13 people. It's always so many people out, so many injuries, people away.
And also we've got to accept the fact that, you know, we're a lot older now, and people have lives that maybe we didn't have 10 years ago, whereas football was everything to everyone. It kind of isn't the case anymore. Don't get me wrong, it's still important, everybody still sort of loves it, but families, work, things just, they take over, don't they? So that's probably, now I reckon that's the same for every team on the island as well. It's, you know, we're not, that's not an excuse from Old Boys, I bet you it's the same for everybody, but it seems to particularly be hitting us hard. Like you say, 14 players is a lot this weekend. Yeah. We're bringing in like Popeye again to help us out. Yeah. So that tells it. Not that that's like, you know, Popeye still knows where the net is, but he's got to be about 60 now. So
Well, I saw the Combi Strike Force. I think the combined age of the week was 100 and something 60 odd, because it was him. Sean, and there was three. There was a picture of them at the table. And they played Braddon. I think they all were two.
Yeah.
So obviously they're still turning out, which is great. But talk about the Combi, Liam. Obviously, how have you found the step up? Is it totally different?
Definitely. Obviously, it's you know, in the Combi Manager, it's obviously a lot more easier because you get, like, you know, obviously it's the leftovers. You know, no disrespect to any of the players, but you know, but stepping up as a first team manager, you know, it has come as like a big iron up, a big surprise. You know, it's just all as well, it's like trying to keep people happy as well, and you know, picking the right team, you know, obviously that's all down to me and stuff. And obviously, you know, the start of the season, I had Tommy helping me out, you know, doing the coaching, which was great. He's not done so much lately though, Tommy.
It's hard to do both, I think. It's a really difficult task. Yeah. I mean, we on a Thursday, we've got the bowl, and that's been really tricky because they've shafted everybody from an hour and a half to an hour.
Right.
So when you get there, you've got essentially 50 minutes by the time you've laid down some cones. So we're trying to get the most out of the players, and then I'm trying to play as well.
It becomes
a difficult task. So Liam stepped up quite a bit. He's done the last, you know, few sessions here and there. We're going to go back to Blackberry Lane next week, so it gives us more time to be able to stop and think about what we're doing. And it doesn't have to just be small-sided stuff anymore. We can talk about tactical stuff and just little bits and pieces. I think that, again, is a contributing factor. And I'm sure, you know, Russian train after us and Onken, and they must have the same problems, because you get half a field with 20-odd players and 50 minutes, basically. It's tricky for any team to do anything other than just tick over, isn't it? But with regard to helping Liam out, I think one thing I've noticed this year with him a bit more is he has more of a plan than maybe what he would do in the Combi. You turn up, you've usually got the best players. All boys traditionally walk the league anyway. So this year when we play in games, we have to come up with like a sort of an idea of how we're going to approach the game, which we've done in some of the games we perform quite well, haven't we? So I think Liam's a bit more conscious of that. And also, you know, he'll take notes sometimes from the side, which, you know, which is good to see as well, because the amount of things you forget, because you kick every ball, don't you? And you're so involved in it that maybe you forget, you can't see the wood for the trees. So just from Wayne's perspective, I've noticed that maybe he's more thoughtful in what he does, definitely.
Liam, you're coming from the Combi background. Has that sort of helped you almost make it a more inclusive squad? Because we've talked in the past that sometimes clubs, the Combi and the first team, are almost separate entities.
But
because you come from there and you know what players are there, and you know, Combi is vital to the first team in many ways.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Does it mean that it's probably brought the club together as a...
Well, I mean, over the years, I mean, as you said there before, there's always been that divide between Combi and first team football. You know, obviously, you know, going down to the Combi, coming up to the first team, it's difficult because Combi lads, you think, hold on, I'm getting 90 minutes each week in the Combi. I can't really be bothered going and spending 20 minutes on a bench for the first team. You know, it's pointless. And then it's that rule, if I play for the first team and get on for, like, say, 5 minutes, I can't play for the Combi the week after, which I find absolutely ridiculous. But I think
you know what, the more players have been included in the first team from the Combi this year, and going back to your question, I think that probably is partly because he's worked with them, he does trust them, and they do slot in. It's just difficult for them to maintain a position.
If
a big hitter comes back, he's going to have to perform really well and really give Liam a majorly difficult problem. But sometimes they definitely do.
Yeah.
But I think that gap has been bridged because of his jump from one team to another. Yeah. I think it's definitely there, and the proof is in the pudding. JJ and Kian, for example, were regular Combi players, and now, you know, they're both regular starters. Even if moved from maybe centre back to right back or centre back, but they're in for the most part, and I think that's really good for the club to see that people can force their way in, even if it takes a little bit of time.
I think, like, as we, like, going back to JJ, I think JJ's played like right back, which he had a really good game last week, and then he's played centre half for me.
Yeah, he's also me the week before. He's so adaptable.
Yeah,
you know,
and he's also played in midfield. I mean, Kian last week, he done really well in the middle, but this week, obviously, we're being short of numbers. He's going to have to start out on the right tomorrow, which I'll have to have a chat with him.
Just finding that out now.
Yeah, he'll have a little whinge at me, like, but you know, all good. But yeah, no, it's you know, it does work well, and you know, it's given. I'm saying, you know, again, going here. But yeah, next question. Go on.
It's getting more flustered now.
Yeah. I was going to say, but just before we move on to the sort of questions, we've talked about this before with other guests. It's important you finish the season well, isn't it? To give you that momentum. Yeah. We were talking about momentum again. That drive over the summer to keep people coming back in pre-season and then build again to the start of the season.
There's still a cup to play for as well. So, I mean, now for us, I mean, it was disappointing that we went out on Saturday, and I genuinely felt that we could have. There was a couple of penalty shouts potentially. We tired. I mean, me and King were going down with all sorts of cramp, probably because we're not the fittest guys in the world. But and you know, St Mary's had a plan of, they were knocking it in the channel with loads. You know, it was just me and King in flat races with some of their players. So you know, the plan kind of worked, and we cramped up and tired towards the end. But the for me, the league now is all about getting performances, and it doesn't necessarily have to be results. It's again just about getting that belief together again that we can win this cup. We've got Pulley, who, don't get me wrong, are a good side, but if they play their best and we play our best, we go through in that game.
Yeah.
And then if we can get past that, you just need a fairly kind draw, and then you get into sort of, you know, the key stages. And even if you're playing against some of these big hitters and you've performed against them in the league, it's not impossible to see old boys doing something. It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
You've done it before.
Yeah, I know.
Grand Slam spoilers in the past. Yeah, you know,
I know. Do you know? Funny, I remember that actually. I remember that. That was a good day.
Yeah. We won't talk about the first.
No. if only James was on to talk about his true love last time.
Right, we've had tons of Twitter questions. Well, I say Twitter, all forms of social media these days. This week, Dave, we're starting with a question from one of the island's leading referees.
Yeah, John McCallum. First question's for you, Tommy. He says, when I played at Old Boys many years ago, Tommy just started playing in the combi. Young lad, long blonde hair and very good defender. Since you got your locks cut, do you think you've lost your touch in defence?
Like Samson, that, isn't it? Do you know what, John? It's funny, because John, when he played, he was a little enforcer, and he was super aggressive, and he was going around the field whacking everybody. But it was also a comfort, because back in the day when we were playing the combi, we were like 14 and we probably were playing under someone else's name and stuff. But it was always nice to have somebody who was known to be slightly more aggressive and maybe a little bit angry off the field, to have that kind of protection. But from players like John and Dave Filson and people like that, that's how you kind of learnt your trade, really. You could go in and whack people as a young kid and know that they're not going to turn around and grab you on the throat because the likes of John's on the field to grab them on the throat. So I would say I've never really had that much ability, to be fair. So there wasn't much to lose. There wasn't much to lose.
I don't know about Tommy. I remember a season where you were pretty much in team of the week every,
I think he was playing at the back with me then.
No, do you know what it is? I recognise that I am... I'm an average footballer, but I'm a decent defender. I know how to defend. My job isn't to be the Robbie Ward or whoever it is knocking 50-yard passes around. That's not what I do. I win it and give it to people who can do it. So I think if you know your limits and you just stick to it, you can always be a 7 out of 10 kind of guy. Let's not reach for the stars. Let's just do what you can do.
Very honest there, Tommy.
Next question in from one of your former combi steeds, I think. Liam, Daniel Swan, he says, who's the latest player at the club now Bill's retired? I'm assuming he's talking about the only Chris Clinton.
Yeah. I probably would have said Swan was probably the laziest when he was at Old Boys, to be honest with you.
I mean, for me, I don't know what you think, but I'm thinking Ryan Gartland is a lazy man. He didn't come to football practice through the week because he'd had a chippy and he wasn't feeling that well, so he didn't turn up because he'd eaten too close to training time. So that was one of the worst we've ever heard of, isn't it?
But he still turned up and watched everyone else do the run. And he says, no, I can't do it because I had a chippy dinner. So, yeah, we'll go for Ryan Gartland.
He's definitely up there, isn't he? Yeah, he's definitely up there. He's one of the laziest.
But as you say, that is the most amazing.
I know. And that, having the gall to just stand there and be like, no. Sorry, that chippy's just sitting too heavy on me.
At least he wasn't eating the chips on the side.
I know. No, he's never, ever going to hear the end of that.
Definitely not.
Next question from Kane Ridings. It's a very loaded one for you, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to credit one person for your miraculous recovery from long-term injury and peak in improved performance, who would it be and why?
It would probably be the owner of Neo's for accepting my self-imposed ban from Peter's from that place. But that's definitely a factor. No, to be fair to Kane, I don't really want to praise him too much because I know this, you know, get record listeners when I'm on.
Yeah.
But he has had a major impact on me. I've been struggling with injury for a long time, and he got me back on the field, which was the most important thing for any footballer. You know, not being able to play is the worst. And he does really take an interest in figuring out why you're injured. So, you know, for any footballers that are struggling right now, I would highly recommend him. He's really reasonably priced, and he's interested in you, you know, when you're not with him in the gym and things like that. I've literally just come from there now and done a session with him, so he is really good, but he is clearly in love with himself asking these questions.
Yeah.
But you did say, actually, when we're off it, it probably helps that he's played and let's be honest, he's had a lot of injuries himself, hasn't he?
He has. I mean, he's very fast as well, isn't he? So I think, you know, fast players tend to struggle with injuries. Maybe that's why I'm struggling so bad. But he, you know, him being a footballer as well, and understanding the pain of not being able to play definitely helps. And like I say, with him having suffered most of these injuries, he's got really good knowledge of figuring out why you're injured and how we can correct it. So, you know, like I say, go and see him if you are struggling. He will get you playing again. Yeah. 100%. He's a really, really good guy.
Us Shetland, Dave. Yeah, that's where we're going wrong. She's gone and seen Kane.
Dave, I don't know if you can fix Dave's judgment though, because we had a question from our colleague Sean Gavin in the old boys group, and what he was asking was, how can he, who was old boys' only striker, be in team of the week, yet the two people that marked him were also in team of the week? We said that's so counterintuitive. So we would like, Sean would like your explanation on that, please, Dave.
Dave, you played him in midfield, didn't you?
I did,
yeah. He never played in midfield. Yeah. He played up front, so we just wondered what he wanted to know what you were seeing. So how does the striker be like the best player, and then the two people marking him be best? It doesn't make sense.
It's all a bit red there,
Dave. Yeah.
I feel like you deserve this question after this week's stitch up.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So if you could just explain to him.
No, so basically, with team of the week, if we try and get people to cover each game, obviously we can't.
You were at that game.
We can't get everyone to cover it. So in that instance, I spoke to one of the guys from City, and I spoke to Liam, and Liam gave me some marks from that game, some of the best players. And yes, you mentioned Sean, and you did mention you played up front, but because I had to fit it into the formation.
What Dave's saying is that he thinks he's misplayed and he should be playing midfield.
Yeah.
What Dave's saying is he wasn't paying that much attention and he just took the results from the people who were.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't at the game, so I got to say.
You deserve that, Dave.
Yeah, I did. After the other day. Thanks.
Next question, moving on quickly, is for Liam from Stephen Fox, Union Mills manager. He says, Liam, which player is technically the best at volleys you have ever seen?
You
always hit a ball, Liam, as you said. They'd stay hit when you hit them, didn't they?
Yeah. I think he's saying that because he was quite a good player back in the day, Steve, when I was growing up. And he used to...
About enforcers, don't we?
Yeah. He used to knock a good few volleys in up Ballacameen playing field. And, you know.
And he says, the next question is more of a professional question for you, Liam.
It is. He asks, to get the best results on Windows, what's the best water to chemical ratio?
Oh, free advertising. Here we go. I wouldn't really know that one. You'd have to probably ask my dad. But it's probably better than...
saliva.
Yeah. It's probably better than Seymour Clearly's anyway. Like, so, yeah. Sorry, a bit of window cleaner bitterness there, but I wouldn't have a clue. You'd have to ask my dad. I'm just the labourer.
The next question from the aforementioned Ryan Garland. Of course, we wish him a speedy recovery. Obviously, he's going to be out for a while. That's a big cast. I don't know if you saw on Instagram this week, Dave. It puts yours to shame.
This isn't a proper cast. Let's face it.
So he asked Tommy, who's the best and worst defender you've played with at Old Boys?
Yeah, I mean, Liam messaged me this morning about this and asked me to say him, so...
I'm not Ryan Gartley.
The best defender, I would say Josh Evans, but that would be a complete lie because he's dreadful. I'll put him worst.
Okay.
But the best defender, it's difficult. I would say maybe Ian Ramsey's been really good over the years with me, and Martin as well, Martin King. Mm. I play with them a lot. When me and Liam used to play together. He, to be fair, he was really, we were a good foil for each other. So it's hard, really. It's hard to pick. You know, everyone's got different qualities.
Do you prefer playing in a two or a three? Because obviously, Old Boys had a dalliance with three.
Yeah. Two, really. And to be honest with you, I think I prefer playing the likes of maybe Martin and Liam. Just, well, maybe not so much Liam, because of the aerial power. Liam's 6'7". I know, 6'7.5" when he jumps. But
yeah.
I think me and Martin have got a good... He'll go for the ball more. He's more of a front foot defender, and I will always run in behind.
Sweep.
A little bit more. Not much more pace than Martin, but a tiny bit more. So we have a good sort of partnership there. But yeah, Martin and Ian Ramsey.
Yeah,
well, both got their own kind of qualities in the way.
You were saying as well, that was actually... When the spear, when you had Max Berman as well, you had a consistent back four there for a long time.
Definitely.
It gave you something to build from. And when you talk about consistency of team selection, having a defence that settles is a big thing, isn't it?
It is really, really important. But I remember when we won the FA Cup against Geordies years ago, we had Bill at right back, who's a centre midfielder. We had Mark Berman at left back, who wanted to play like left winger. And then we had Simon Wasser playing centre back with me. We were literally the most jumbled up, you know, bunch of players ever. So you're right, consistency is important, but that day...
It went out the window.
Well, I mean, the defence we had on Saturday, JJ on the right, Dave on the left, Dave Quirk, myself and Martin, that's pretty steady.
Yeah.
I think it should be able to cope with most of what's thrown at it. I mean, St Mary's got some great players. Frank is always a handful. We know what Craig can bring because he used to play against us. That young lad who they brought on,
Luke,
absolute lightning fast.
Yeah,
so you know they don't get me wrong, they won the game, but I think we cope with them okay. And you know that's going to be some of the cream what we're going to face. So I think if we can keep that back four together, then we've got a chance of doing something. Although you know we say this all the time, and Old Boys just crumble. You know? So we talk such a great game.
What about you, Liam? Who are the best and worst defenders you played with?
I played that agreement before. It's gone out the window, right?
I'd probably say go back. Probably I've got two, and I can't really split them. Would have to be Tommy Miller and Ian Ramsey. I didn't really play much at the back with Kinga, because when Kinga first came to Old Boys, he was under Wally, he was pushed further out to the right to really accommodate me and Ramsey. I think that's him messaging me now in my pocket. But no, I would say that, but obviously I didn't really play that much at the back with him. And then obviously I got older and Kinga pushed me out eventually. I'd probably say the worst defender I've ever played against, because my career wasn't all about, you know, being at the back. I was a very good centre forward. He scored the best volley in Manx football history. But we'll save that for another time. Yeah.
Josh Evans, though, right, for the worst.
I've never played with him, though. That sounds a bit odd, that way. I couldn't even answer that one. Because I can't even answer the worst one, sorry. Josh Evans for the record then, okay.
You mentioned the volley. Well, funnily enough, the next question is from Johnny Myers, and he says, Liam, your best goal ever, you know, discuss it. So he says, he also adds, I've not heard about it before.
None of us have.
Well, it was actually, I was actually playing for Onken at the time, and it was the second division. Old Boys had just been relegated, and it was the season after, obviously, and I was playing for Onken, and it came out. I think Drew Ward, cleared it, and I just took it down on the chest, on the edge of the area, just a little swivel inside, left foot, looped it over into the top corner over Danny Mead. Wow. But I don't think it was too hard back then, with lobbing it over Danny Mead, because he was only about 4 foot anyway. But yeah, I went celebrating with the Onken, but we eventually lost the game 2-1, so counts for nothing really, it's just memories, so yeah.
And unfortunately, probably before the days of Hattie Vision.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I know.
Next question, Dave.
Right. It's you've already mentioned him, Robbie Ward. Question for you.
The wand.
Question for you, Tommy. Who's the biggest crayon at Old Boys and why?
Right. Now, is this a safe for a family podcast?
Well, we have something in our group called the Crayon Club, and basically anybody who says anything idiotic or just think, as if that's just come out of his mouth, they gain entry into the Crayon Club, and it's you know, we decide who is in it, and the captain of the Crayon Club is James McStay, because he's constantly just saying the strangest, even this morning, He said something stupid, didn't he? So it's just like, that's just his personality, I think. He's just, and then we have Josh Evans as deputy. He comes up with a few absolute belters. Aaron Larrissey's in there. Even Ryan Gotland, definitely. And then and Craig Stewart, him. Occasionally, you know, gains Craig. Entry into the club as well.
So that's it's just, most of the team.
I know. So the Crayon Gang is just, and then anytime anybody says it, there's always a meme of a bunch of guys dressed as crayons and always dancing around. And so yeah, every now and again, when you've had a nightmare, you gain entry into the Crayon Club.
Crayon Club.
That's the PC version of it. Right. Yeah. So James McStay is the owner and founder of
the Crayon Club.
Right. Well, you know, is the first rule of Crayon. Well, obviously, yeah. The first rule you can talk
we
about.
Have. Yeah.
Liam, Robbie asks, are you hopeful that playing me up front may save your job? Is this some tactical switch? Because he's pretty much played everywhere, Robbie, hasn't he, apart from in goal?
Apart from right wing.
He's usually playing in house parties, which
matches. Hopefully, if he keeps on banging them in, I think he's our top goal scorer so far. Behind, I think Matty Kent Lloyd's just behind him, but Matty's been out a lot lately. He's on the bench for me tomorrow, actually, Matty. So, Bob. I played him last season, towards the end of last season. I played him a lot up front, and I think he scored. You know, he was in double figures in about. You know, I mean, yeah, it's
his fitness levels are on the floor, so we have to push him about the way.
So, you know, he bangs him in. We played him in the Junior Cup final up front, and you know, and he was brilliant in that game. So I've just given that chance and opportunity. I mean, he did start off this season in midfield. But we gradually over time, when obviously everyone's losing interest and stuff like that, because we're not playing that much football either, I thought, and shorter numbers as well, just push Bob up front, and at the moment he's knocking him in, so just keep him there.
It's a difficult one for me, because Robbie can put, he's great as a back to goal, he's great in the air, he's got, you know, he's gangly, he's awkward, and if he does shoot, invariably it's going towards a goal. But I just think it takes something away from the team when he's not in the middle.
He's probably one of the best, if not the best, left footer.
I was talking about something the other day. I was comparing him to Frank Jones, and I think Robbie's a better footballer than Frank. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful of Frank.
Do you know what I'm saying? Different.
But what I mean is, Frank Jones has the desire and the will. And if you were ever to show any kids and say, "Oh, this is the one you want to be like," it would be Frank Jones every time, because. You know, he might not have the same level of technical quality as Robbie, but he has the passion and the work rate and the absolute burning desire to be successful, and that would be what you'd want in your players, isn't it? You know, it's difficult to sort of motivate Bob, because he just goes, just come class anyway. Yeah. And he is, don't get me wrong, he's a really, really good footballer, but you just wish you could put a little bit of what Frank has into Robbie sometimes, and you'd have a really, really fantastic player. But I just think that when we're playing, you just think, that ball just needs to be switched a bit faster, or Robbie can maybe see a pass that other people can't see, and he can hit it from, like, you know, a 40-yard switch.
He's like a quarterback or something.
Yeah, he is. And we played him in that role early on in the season, and he was excellent there.
And his set piece to the delivery and free kicks.
Oh, I know, but do you know what? He's getting a bit selfish now, because he wants to be on the end of them, and then we're getting like Ryan Gotland's dreadful front post edge. So look, thank God he's out, and maybe Robbie will have to take him again. But you know, he can do it up front. But we've also got, like Liam said, Matty Kent Lloyd. We've got Callum Stewart look good in training, causing me a few problems last night.
Yeah.
You know, there's people in the squad. Sean Gavin was excellent, I thought, on Saturday. So it's all about trying to fit them in, isn't it? And then you've got him in midfield.
Bang him in midfield, that's what they reckon.
I know. He seems to play there. So it's a good problem to have, it really is. But right now he's a forward, he scored a few goals recently, and you know, if he's scoring goals, then you have to keep him in there, don't you?
It's fair enough, isn't it? Next question's in from Josh Clark, the Maloo skipper. It's a question for both of you. After playing us a couple of weeks ago, do you think there is a big difference between the top of the second division and the bottom six of the Premier League?
Tommy,
I would say maybe a bit, maybe a bit, because I wouldn't want to be disrespectful to the bottom six in the Premier League. But I think against Maloo, they didn't really create anything. They had a guy up front, I can't remember what his name was, and he was kind of pacey and he was strong, but it was a lot of hit and hope. There wasn't an awful lot of football. Obviously, the pitch was tight and narrow. The conditions weren't great. But I don't think they really didn't really try and play football. Whether they didn't want to against us, or whether they had a game plan, but other than a crazy free kick because of the wind, and a mistake from I'll name drop him, Christopher Coxon. You know, they were back in the game, because before that I don't think they really done anything. But so, for example, when we play against Laxey on Saturday, I know they've got two forwards that will cause us problems if we're not on top of our game. So I would say, if you broke it into three leagues, I would say that the bottom sort of six or the bottom five, and I still think it would still sit the way it sits, right, in my opinion. But I mean, we'll find out when we play against Pulley as well, to see what they've got as well. It might not be absolutely perfect, but I do think there is still a little bit more quality. That's why they're there, isn't it? I mean,
if it went to three, though, would you see yourself in that top league, or would you be at the top
of the
league?
If it went to three, I wouldn't want to be in any other league other than the top league. I would rather be bottom of the top league than trying to win the next league, because, you know, I think everybody's still just trying to prove something. Everybody still wants to play against the best. So for me, I wouldn't ask for Old Boys to be in the second division.
Well,
if there was three, but I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
For me, I'm at the moment, the way Manx football's going, with, you know, because it's sad when you're looking at, you know, teams, you know, that pulling combi, you know, teams out, and that's costing clubs money. You know, there's no income coming in there. You know, and it's only going to get worse. For me, I'm a firm believer of having three leagues, because I think everyone will have a choice to think, you know, we can go out and win this league. The combi can go out and win this league. You know, everyone's got a chance to think that, you know, we can actually
every
win some silverware. Every game will be more competitive, and I think it'll bring back the interest in Manx football, because it is dwindling.
Even after this year, though, where it has been quite tight, you know, the top of the league, we're still not, usually Georgies have had the ribbons on in February, haven't they?
Yeah.
This year's going to go the way. Bottom's going to go all the distance. Yeah. Top of Division 2.
I agree. I do think there should be three leagues, but I mean, we've been absolutely spanked by teams at the bottom, and we've lost games. I mean, the reason there is a relegation fight is because of us literally gifting these teams points.
Literally.
But I understand the idea behind it, and I would also be in favour of it, because I'm sure, we don't really feel like that, but there must be nothing worse than going to a game and knowing you're going to get a hide. And it's a little bit like women's football. I was talking to someone who plays in women's football on Sunday, and they played against Douglas Royals, and Douglas Royals had 9 players, and one of the Old Boys they had 10, and they got beat like 15-0, and they had a man up. So you know, it's the same for the women's league. How do you correct it? How do you make it so that everybody wants to play? Because I think the women's league is suffering the same problems. Well, I'm not turning up on a Sunday because to get battered. Well, that's no fun for anybody, and I can understand why that would be the case.
My revolutionary plan for the women's league, which I think I wrote a blog about back in the day, was make it a draft system.
Yeah, you could do, but football is also about playing with your friends.
Exactly.
I've been fortunate enough to win a few things with Old Boys, and I wouldn't trade that in for 50 leagues with another team. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
and I can't, you know, I don't see how there's people who, you know, they've had more clubs than Tiger Woods, and they're just fritting around. Darren Hudson's the worst of it. But they just go from, you know, how can you raise a trophy and kiss it and look around, and there's these people that you don't care about? Not, you know what I mean? Yeah, but they're not your friends. So that I get that, and I think that would be a good idea. But people have a personal choice,
Exactly. Asian Rashid's been on, hasn't he, Dave?
Yeah, the big revelation today is that Liam hasn't heard of Asian Rashid before. Yeah. So
I'm sure it's not come across his Facebook page and his memes and all sorts of stuff like that. But anyway, he's sent two questions in, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The Allemans Premier Super Agent.
Yeah, the first question for you, Tommy. Sources close to the agent said that you were once interested in taking the vacant manager's job at Youthy. Is there any truth in this?
There is a little bit of truth in it, actually, yeah. What it was...
When was this?
to be fair, it would be going to another Old Boys, wouldn't
you? Yeah. It was after... I'd had a difficult season with a previous manager, and I didn't feel like I was being treated very well, and I thought, well, you know what, I'm coaching anyway, maybe I should go and just try something else. It's difficult to like coach with your friends and try and tell your friends what to do, because invariably they don't want to know. So the idea was, I had a couple of friends, Harry Wetherill, who I worked with, and then John Lund, who I used to work with, and they were both up there, and I just thought, maybe I should do it in Division 2 and people I don't know, and give it a go. As a player manager sort of thing. But then there was a change in manager, and Liam was on my case loads about doing some coaching for him, and just the idea of pulling on another shirt doesn't sit very well with me. But I would have had to have done it because of the circumstances I was in. That would be, you know, Old Boys is everything, but football's a little bit more, so that would have been the reason for. So there is truth in it. And it, you know, there was serious consideration for it, but it didn't kind of pan out that way.
So Liam saved your role.
Liam did, yeah. You know, the managerial change was what kept the...
There you go. And the next question's in for you, Liam, which is for the Buckaroo.
Right.
Where would Old Boys need to improve next season? And do you think you may get some new faces in the summer? Quite early to say, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
we are getting towards that. You'll start seeing the wagons will start coming around. You know, people will be having whispers in the especially when the hospital.
All the backhanders, cash.
Free subs.
Yeah.
We can't get our subs paid. we're fighting the bailiffs away at Blackberry Lane.
You'll have to speak to Sean McKenty on that one. I think with Old Boys, as Tommy said earlier, you know, we're all at that age. You know, we've been, you know, throughout Old Boys now 15 years, obviously some even longer. We're all older. I would say there's a handful of young players at Old Boys. And I think what we need to improve on is getting youth into Old Boys.
Because you used to always be struggling the Cow Cup, didn't you? You'd have a decent Cow Cup team.
I think we had a Cow Cup team. Was it the season before last? I think Adam Hodge and Craig Murphy.
A lot of those players were borrowed.
Yeah.
It was getting a team where we could get
two players that actually played for us in that Cal Cup team, and that's where the problem lies for me. We need a youth set up at Old Boys. We tried with Taxi Paul Turner. It's a bit, you know, trying to organise something, trying to sort something out. I've spoken to Tristan Ringham about it. All you have to do is look at Onken. I mean, they've got junior set up from every age going. They've got so many teams. I mean, my eldest, he plays for Onken. He enjoys it. And it's just like, can we get that youth? Can we sort out with someone to bring youth into Old Boys? Because the way things are going at Old Boys, I would say, you know, we'll get the odd player in here and there, you know, we'll get the odd young player here and there, but I could see Old Boys in the next 5 years probably going like the way of Castletown, not being able to field a combi, taking them out because it's just short of players. Because some players do come in because they don't really know us and stuff like that. They find it a bit like, you know, you're not plot. I wouldn't say a click because we've all known each other for so long.
Yeah.
And it is difficult for people to come in, I guess.
It's just we're at the same age, aren't we? Yeah. There's so many players at the same age that it'll be a domino effect. If a couple stop, then we're hanging in there for the love of the club as opposed to anything else. But to go into more specifics, we do have a couple of young players who are at the club who are good players, but unfortunately Old Boys has quite a social culture. Old Boys has them now. Their career is finished at 17. We need to kind of get rid of them for their own safety. But in terms of specifics, I'll give you some specifics. We desperately need a left back because we're playing Dave Quirk there, who's fantastic but is being held back.
Yeah.
We lost Phil Knox because he's like crippled and retired at 20.
What
did big money move to Malou? Yeah, it didn't work out. I was speaking to him the other day in the pub. He said he played for like 20 minutes. There was a fight breakout and he just thought, this isn't for me anymore. Yeah. Ian Ramsey went to Dubai, so he was a left-footer as well. Yeah. Liam was going to make the worst decision of his life and put me left-back on Saturday. And he's really lucky that didn't pan out that way. But if there's any left-backs out there, we could probably do another centre-back because me and King are constantly like strapping up and fighting injuries.
This is King's last season. He's got his marriage at the end of this year sometime, which is... and he's already said this is last year and he wants to go on a high.
So and the young players we do have, likes of Ryan Gartland. He's been hugely underwhelming this season. One goal, one assist. It's too many chippies. So we need some people that, you know, are willing to come in and play that aren't complete wreckheads and don't come with a huge reputation and then do nothing. There's some specifics about
maybe
the actual positions we need.
Whoever he is.
If he was a commission, you might get a packet of crisps from him. Last thing he mentioned was, also, I need my windows cleaning. Do you know anyone?
Free advertisement again.
Yeah, John McCallum's a window cleaner.
John McCallum's a window cleaner. I don't think he goes up Ramsey, though. Yeah, he is Scottish. He is a bit tight on the fuel lines.
I asked Liam to clean my windows about 6 years ago, but because they were too high up, he was like, I just don't want the money. John the Jock did them for me instead.
he had better material.
Anyone other than Liam was a nice suggestion.
Also, while we've been recording this, I had another question in from Liam Doyle from Nashville. He just wants to know for both of you, who are your toughest opponents you've faced?
Oh God, there's been a few over the years, to be fair. In terms of forwards, I always had a decent ding dong with Stephen Glover. He was always quite good.
He was not. You talk about. I can't remember what you were saying before, but he had like Rob. He could hold it up. He's got. Yeah. Quite,
but he had that technical ability as well. He was a handful.
Bit of everything,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. I think. Yeah, he's always been a bit tricky to play against. Callum Morrissey is always a handful as well because he's just. He's all elbows, he's all chicken wings, and he's strong. And what he's really great at is he's annoying. So he distracts you so much that you can't concentrate. You just want to strangle him, and then he's beat you. So he's always and he's a very good footballer as well. And obviously Kieran McNulty, he's a different problem as well. He goes the other way.
Steedo,
he's tricky. He's always scored goals against us. I think. Pacing behind is always difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Him and Pekka will go the other way a lot, and that's good for me. But yeah, they're some difficult players. Yeah. I don't really think of anybody. I can't think of anybody new that's come through recently. That's
for me. I mean, obviously Morrissey was always tough. Pekka, Tommy mentioned that, always tough to play against Geordie because you knew you were always going to get the run around. But for me, I'd have to say the toughest I've ever played against would have to be Josh Kelly.
Right.
From Russia. Yeah. I think I was never really easily shoved off the ball or anything like that, but he was very strong. He's so low centre of gravity as well, and he's quick off the mark.
There's a little tip for anyone who ever plays against Josh. He always tries to feel for you. Puts his arms out really far, tries to feel for you. And if he can feel you, then he'll want the ball, and if he can't, then he'll look to spin. So if you can keep yourself just out of his reach, then he doesn't know. But he's a good player.
Yeah.
I remember playing against him a few years ago when all the boys were playing Peel at Blackbury Lane, and it was for the league.
Mm.
And St George's had offered all the boys a free bar
so
if we could beat them to Scotland, remember?
Yeah.
And I was playing against Josh, and I was having quite a good game against him, and he's just like, come on, Tommy, you hate St George's. Just let me score. Just let me put on it. And I was so tempted, but my football integrity stood, but St George's never, because we never got the free bar.
Oh,
they always won there.
Hold that to them as well.
Yeah,
the biggest incentive that they could ever offer us, and we go and do it for them, and then that was it.
Right, got you in, lads. We'll look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, kicking off with the Friends Problem International FA Cup semi-finals. Starting with the game I'm going to in at Douglas Road and Peel versus St George's, lads. This should be a cracker, this, shouldn't it, Tommy?
Definitely. I mean, they're two really, really good sides. We lost Luke Stewart, not Luke Stewart, what's his last name? Luke Doherty, to Peel last year, and he's obviously strengthened them. And St George's are always a difficult team to play against. I mean, even when we played against them at the start of the season and we were doing well for an hour, you just knew they were going to come back at some point. You know, they're really, really good players. Geordie's just always find a way, don't they?
Yeah.
They always find a way, no matter how it is, even against us, and it was going so well, they just find a way to win.
We should give some credit to Chris. We were talking about it in my preview in the paper today. Everyone had written them off at the start of the season. You know, most people have said, not written them off, but saying you're going to really struggle to get any silver with the kids who've got. But then last week's result in particular, 6-0 win over a good inside who are in that top four. You know, he's done it again, hasn't he? He's brought a load of kids through, and he's seemingly building again another dynasty. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, going back to that when we played St George in the Junior Cup final last season, I mean, I think a lot of them players now are playing for the first team. You know, and you can see they've got it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And obviously, Bassey will have it drilled into them, you know, the fitness, the training, the discipline. And anyone that's come from George would probably say the same. You know, they're just a complete footballing team. For me, I'm going to go for St George's to win tomorrow.
The thing is with St George's is they're relentless, so you've got to be so good defensively against them. And if it's not Callum, then it's Furo, or if it's not Furo, it's Pekka. Somebody is going to do something. You've got to be so on your game all the time. You've got to start well. You've got to be 20 minutes, nothing's happened. We're in the game. You've got to even go ahead. You've got to, you know, because if they score one, you think, oh, God, you know, we could crumble here. We really could crumble. And they always manage to find a way to do it, you know. Hats off to them. They are a really, really good side. And any victory against St George's is rare and one to be cherished.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like an FA Cup win that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah. Dave, what are you saying about this one? Are you reckon I think I might have to do the extra 30 minutes.
But Peel have got Lee, haven't they? And he's a game changer as well.
Yeah,
he's
had a great season as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I watched the league match between these two a few months ago when Peel won. They were very impressive in that game. And they showed something which I hadn't seen much of from them recently, over the last couple of years. And it was that mentality that Geordies have, that never give up, that never say die. Because Geordies did play well in that game, but Peel did what Geordies do to so many teams. Mm-hmm. So Peel impressed me. They've had a great season. But I watched that game against Corinthians last week for Geordies, and they were so impressive, especially second half. I know Corinthians are down to 10 men, and the youngsters they've got are so talented. Mm. I think this will go extra time. I think Geordies will just sneak it, but I don't know.
Does Shed End not give Peel a bit of an edge, Tommy? You know, there's not.
No, do you know what? They are quite funny now. I always think, if I can just clear that into that stand as hard as I possibly can, that's always in my head every time I play against them. I don't think so. Peel are really good. Lee Gale is an absolute handful. When you play against him, we played against him a couple of years and you reported on the game and I made a horrendous back pass and you were dead kind to me and said, this is just the mud. Yeah. I was so grateful for it, but I nearly cost us the game that day. But Lee, you know, he scored and he ran me really into the ground. He's an awkward player. So I think if St George's can, sorry, Peel can isolate maybe some of the youngsters and put some of their big hitters against him, they've always got a chance, especially at home. But I just think St George's got that experience. You know, you can't beat that, can you? Then in the difficult games when you're under pressure, can you see it out and then you know, create your own kind of chances? I think they're just going to pinch it.
The other semi-final takes place down at the Station Fields. I nearly said Glen Road then, but that's a bit of a throwback Thursday, wasn't it? down at the Station Fields where Colby were Premier League leaders, St Mary's. Now, the big question, can we see a cup set here, lads? Can Colby, who are the form team in Division 2, by the way, they haven't lost since the start of December, since the Fretty revolution came in, but can they do anything to beat St Mary's?
No.
No.
it's unlikely. I mean, we played against Colby last year, I think, down at that. And don't get me wrong, they've got a couple of good young players, and but the gulf in class is just too much.
Yeah.
It just is. I mean, you know, again, if you've got to keep Frank quiet, and if you can't keep Frank quiet, then maybe Josh Jack. Is a problem from the right, or Jack coming from the middle. I just don't know if they've got enough experience defensively to be able to cope with that. I think you need to beat these kind of teams, you need big, big performances at your back four, and you need to be strong and aggressive. And I just don't think, from playing against them, I just don't think they've got that quality. I think it's unlikely, to be fair.
St Mary's win.
Oh, yes, a St Mary's win. Yeah, definitely.
Dave, any hope for the Moonlighters listening?
Well, you know, definitely they've got a home advantage in this, which may play some part. Carl Hickey's rejuvenated as a striker these days as well. He got a hat-trick against Laxey last week, so, you know, they'll brim him with confidence. But, yeah, I have to say I agree with the lads. I just think it's going to be a step too far for them. I think the Saints will win this one.
I think the only thing St Mary's will just have to worry against, guard against, a bit of complacency in this one. Yeah. We did a totally non-scientific Twitter poll on this to see who was going to lift the FA Cup on Easter Saturday. Now, Colby actually finished second in the
it's all pretty close, isn't it?
Is that half of the South?
So St Mary's top of the poll with 31% is probably what we'd all potentially agree with here. 28% to Colby, 22% to Peel, and only 19% to Geordies. So
I actually think St George's are going to win it.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do. I just from what we've seen of both of them this year, I thought St George's was a harder game. I didn't play in it because I was injured, but obviously. But I was watching from the side, and I think St George's are just going to have a little bit too much. That's my tip for this competition. And I hate tipping them for anything, because I do have a professional hatred for them.
Well, we're cup semi-final as well, so they have, obviously, on the big occasion, St Mary's that day froze a little bit, so it's, you know.
Yeah. I just think St George's have got quality in the right areas. I'm not to sort of, you know, rule out the other teams. I just think from what I've seen so far.
Definitely going to be an interesting weekend. Woods Cup, Dave, GH Call at Woods Cup. There's two cracking semi-finals in that, actually, this Saturday. All these games kick off at 2 p.m. Paul Rose United versus Foxdale. As Hattie put on Twitter this week, these are never dull, are they?
No, there's all sorts of drama going on in these. This should be a cracker. Pulley favourites on paper. But Foxdale have had a bit of a tough year, but they've bounced back in the last few weeks. Back-to-back wins against Union Mills. So they're backfiring. They may fancy the chances in this, but I just think Pulley will be too strong.
Pulley home win, Liam.
Yeah.
because Fox still looks like promotion probably out of their reach now. Gold Cup is probably on the card still, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, they've got the games in hand.
But this is a sort of maybe a last shot of silverware for them this season. So with that extra incentive, maybe you can see them past probably this thing. Or can you just see them being too strong at home?
I think, yeah, just being too strong at home. I mean, Polo's got some great players. You've got, you know, the Steed, the Priestnalls, you know, it's...
Again, it comes down to firepower, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think you have to really be able to defend well for a long time against tricky little players. The Priestnalls are so tricky. Mm. So, like, centre of gravity, you know, they on a small pitch, is just ideal for them. You know, 1-2 touch football, you know, there's no doubts Pulley have got... more attacking power, I think.
Yeah, even
that's always really helpful, isn't it? You know, goals wins games, unfortunately. And
even if you can mark the Priestnalls out of the game, there's so much other talent that they've got as well, isn't there?
Yeah,
so.
It's hard to see anything but that. And you know what? They kind of do deserve a bit of success because I think over the years, every game they ever play in is always a nightmare. It's always drama, isn't it? That's just them as a club. But, you know, I think I watched them lose to Castletown in the Cup. Was it last year, really, before? You know, they probably do deserve some success because it always seems like there's quite turbulence or stuff going on there. So, you know, I'd like to see them actually go on and do it.
It must have been we had Rob, the keeper, and Steedo in a couple of weeks ago to do the podcast. And it does seem a bit more settled now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Stevens brought...
That's what they need because there's always... You feel like it's just going to be... On the field, they're gonna mess up for themselves.
It's in the box, but he does seem to have been the calming influence. And it's a young side, but they're looking up to him. You know, because obviously his... footballing CV is
it's to be respected, isn't it? Yeah,
everyone seems to be pulling in the same direction. That's
as well, which is a big thing. So yeah, you're right. This could be the year, and they could still do the Division 2 treble, of course.
Certainly could, yeah.
So like we did 1 year,
The other semi final takes place up in Andrews. That's the very northern affair. Air United versus Ramsey. This should also be a good game. This is their chance of day in the sun this season after a bit of an inconsistent league campaign, Dave.
Yeah, it's, you know, we talked about Old Boys season. I think AS kind of mirrors that in a way. And I think they've done well recently. They brought a few players back. And I think they're in a bit of a good run of form at the moment. But Ramsey should be too strong in this. I mean, they're still pushing as well for promotion. They're in third. They've got the games in hand. So it's they'll just be keen to keep the momentum going, I think.
Tommy?
Well, I've got a man in the camp at Air, my colleague Harry, who you've had on before, who has an interesting plot, if you recall.
Yeah.
He was telling me that they're suffering in terms of numbers and injuries, maybe. And I played against Ramsey, maybe their combi a couple of years ago, towards the back end of the year. I think I've just come back from being away. And they've got some good young players. And I think if they kick them, they have kept them together and they're starting to sort of click and gel. And I think that coupled with as maybe suspensions and missing players. Just sorry, Harry, but I think it's going to be a Ramsey day.
Well, for me, I'm probably going to go for Air United because my dad was a big Air United player. So well, he played for Ramsey as well, but yeah, I won't have to go for Air United on this one, unfortunately.
I tell you what, there'll be some party in Andrews if they make it in the final, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Ten people.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
We shared they won the Woods Cup in 2013. We shared some of the photos from that final. They actually beat Poro 7-1 that year.
Wow.
And they had morph suits, there was orange wigs, the whole...
the whole town come out.
The Tangerine Army.
Yeah.
We should point out, Liam's wearing an orange t-shirt.
Yeah.
So I think he's showing his colours there.
Yeah.
He's
got his United by heart. When he gets his P45, that's his next... That's his next appointment.
He's got his replica Steve George t-shirt on. There was three games in the Premier League on Saturday, of course. We start off with the game at Glen Road, which sees Laxey welcome you guys there on Saturday. Massive game for Laxey in their Premier League survival hopes.
Yeah.
They've got three games to play, yourselves, St John's, and then I think it's St Mary's in their last game. So you wouldn't think they're going to get any points out of that last game. They are now, Dave Cameron, to the trail safety by?
They're 4 points behind. They've got the game in hand over Royal. They're 4 points behind them and also St John's, who they play, as you said.
So they've got to win these next two, haven't they, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
If they don't get something out of us, then they're finished.
Even a draw, they're struggling.
Yeah.
So, Dave, can they do it? Can the Great Escape be pulled off?
I think it's too late for them. I said this last week. I mean,
their ship has sailed.
I think
Papa Kinnish, SS Papa Kinnish is away.
I know, I watched them play a couple of weeks ago against Castletown. They've got a great young side. Some really good players in there. and they got a good win that day. But I just think they're just running out of time now. I think it's almost at the point where they're going to have to start preparing for next season now. So I think this will be a step too far.
Tommy, you've obviously been there. You went down. Is it easy to keep the quad together when you go down?
It depends on like I said before, the core friendships of the people. If people are not friends,
they're all of that age to you guys as well.
I mean, we were all best mates, so we were never going to go anywhere. It depends on the mentality of the players and what their relationships are with each other. Because if it's good and they're strong, well, then you've got a chance of coming back. Stay with your friends. If people don't have that attachment to Laxey, then they could just go fall by the wayside, can't they? That's happened to so many teams that you've never seen again in Division One. But it's always, I know you're going to ask me how this game's going to go, so you're putting me up to make me look stupid now.
We do it every week with Dave.
I always look stupid, don't worry.
I just can't see them beating us. I mean, they've got a couple of tricky forwards.
Joe Walters has been probably one of the, even in a struggling team, he's probably one of the standout performers this
definitely
season.
You know, so me and Martin will be busy, there's no doubt about it, but I just don't think they're going to have enough to cope with us going the other way, and I think we'll be able to cope with them a bit better. And you just know Sean Gavin's going to score. It's about to happen. It's just bound to happen.
Will he celebrate?
Will he? The goals are like, you know, they're so precious to him. They're so few and far between. He's got
other plans tomorrow. He's got his kids' photography thing. So
see, this is what I'm talking about. He's, how football's
he's
not that.
He's bottling it, I think. So yeah,
you can still put him in the team of the week in defence if you want.
Yes. Obviously, you've both come into this game off cup losses, but theirs is against the second division side, and it's probably almost two different mindsets off the back of that game. You've pushed the Premier League leaders all the way; they've lost to a second division team.
Yeah.
Well, their heads will be down, or won't they?
It depends. I mean, it depends how the game went. I mean, I know there was a lot of goals in the game there, but as in, I'm going back to Old Boys against Mervyn's last week. I'm confident. I know my players are confident in the moment because I think after that we can go out and beat anyone after last week. I know we got beat, you know, but as we've said a few times today, you know, we could have beat them. It just wasn't to be on the day. But I think, you know, going off my lad, I don't know what, because I know Palmer, you know, he's a great fella, nice lad.
Played a goal the other week.
I played against him in the Vets actually a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, mark me out of the game. To be fair.
That's because you're like, you know.
I was playing up front. Yeah, I don't know what I was doing up there. But but I think my lads will be confident. They'll be up for it, and the places are up for grabs now as well. You know, if people are going out, they're going to find it hard to get back in the team because all of a sudden, after one good result, everyone's fighting for. I've had two good training sessions this week. The lads have been feisty. They've been up for it. You know, I've had the numbers. It's been great. I just need to continue that now for the remainder of the season.
Going back to your question, though, I don't think they should be nervous or they will be nervous. Like you said before, it's all or nothing. So everything else before it, it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Yeah, right, it's everything else gone. This is it now for Laxey. So, you know, just play, give it your best and enjoy it. And if it doesn't work out, it just wasn't for you this year. You know, that's got to be the mindset, hasn't it?
I think it's going to be a cracking game.
You're going to come down and watch, Dave.
Actually
watch it this time.
We can have a better write-up in the paper.
What I was going to say, yes, it's a cracking game. I think, do you know what? It could even be a draw. But that's not going to do them any good.
No.
But I don't know. As I say, it's a tough one. I think, if I hadn't heard that you were missing a few, I would have definitely favoured you. But I don't know, Dave.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously the player availability is a big thing, but I still think Old Boys will just be a little bit too strong. Although I have seen Laxey have named a strong team for this one. It's pretty much full strength. So who knows?
Are they flown in a couple or?
Matty Wilkinson, it looks like he's playing. I think I can't remember about Burkett or not, but yeah. So
he's back from university. The other two teams down at the bottom, Moran versus St John's, a couple of teams that are in that mix. And Moran, win for them, that's the Premier League next season, isn't it?
I think almost the pressure's off them. Obviously, St John's are still not mathematically safe, so yeah, they'll be quite nervous about this game, I think. But no, I think Moran will be just a bit too strong for them.
Tommy, you played both these teams?
Yeah, I actually didn't play them when we lost. I was injured and I think I had to work, so I wasn't there, so I've not seen much of Moran. But when we played against St John's, they do have a couple of fast players out wide, a couple of young lads. So they've got a little bit. Wynn is obviously a big guy and he can hold the ball up as well. So it all depends on that, really. I don't know. I'll go for a draw.
Sorry, so Johns have almost slipped into this, haven't they?
They have some good players, though. They have decent enough footballers.
They were sort of bobbing around with you guys in mid-table, and then suddenly they're only a couple of points above now. They've got to play a tricky-ish run at earning because they're playing everyone around them. if the miracle in Glen Road happens, they could find themselves playing Division 2 next season, couldn't they?
Yeah, I just think results elsewhere is what's going to save the teams, I think. But I think they'll pin something in that game, actually.
Liam, Moran win?
I want to go for a Moran win, yeah.
I've been quite impressed with them. They're quite a good unit, aren't they?
Yeah, we played them start of the season down at their pitch, and we were going in there confident. And we took a 2-0 lead, but they got it back to 2-2, and we got quite lucky with the winner. The keeper made a bit of a howler, I think. But they were very tough, very well organised. We played them again at our pitch, terrible conditions, but they deserved to win that day against us. They were very well organised. They had a very back strong, back four were very strong,
And the long throw is some weapon, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they know how to use it as well, as I say. And at home, it's a tight pitch, and that's one of their weapons in their arsenal.
You play to your strengths, don't you? Exactly. And a lot of teams have very small pitches for that reason.
Yeah. Dave, home win?
Yeah, home win for this one. And just going back to the Lassie squad, you have got Andy Burkett in that.
Have you got the full squad there? I'll just kind of screenshot that. I don't think Palmer would be too appreciative.
It looks like Tom Brown was playing in goals.
Yeah. Do you want to read out our team, Liam?
Where's that Benson's and Hedges?
Final game in the Premier League on Saturday, of course, is rearranged fixtures. Sees Castletown welcome Corinthians to the stadium in Castletown's last game of the league season. Corinthians need a bit of Ian Dowry's bounce back ability this week, Tommy, after 6-0.
Yeah, that was an absolute high, didn't I? I was surprised about that. But I chat with Kane regularly because I work with him in the gym and stuff, and he said it was deserved, really. It's interesting because they did so well previously, to see that sort of, just fall off a cliff kind of thing happen. It was a surprise, but Geordie's can go up to anybody, can't they? It could just be a rough day at the office. Yeah. We all have them. Yeah. I've suffered from many of them. So,
well, I have to say, I was at the game for 43 minutes. It was so even. It could have gone either way. Corinthians missed a penalty. That was a turning point, obviously. But then, as soon as Ryan Burns gets sent off, they're always facing an uphill struggle. And the strange thing was that they didn't change it straight away. I think they dropped a player back into the defence, but they had Cam Lee on the bench. They didn't make the change until half time. And in that 5-minute gap, Geordie scored twice, it was game over.
Can I ask, was the game going that way anyway, before the Reds? What did you think?
I think Geordie still would have won it, to be honest. I think Corinthians played well first off without creating too many chances. They didn't look like they were firing on all cylinders up front. The penalty was controversial, but that didn't matter in the end because it wasn't scored. Glenn made a good save. Yeah, I think Geordie's looked very dangerous going forward. I think, to be honest, Geordie's would have won it either way. But it just maybe not by that margin of victory. So.
It could just be one of those weeks, couldn't it, for them?
They'll want to get out of their system, though, especially with the Hospital Club just around the corner. Castletown, in the same bracket as Moran, and maybe to a certain extent, St John's. Definitely Moran. They're safe in all, but aren't they?
Yeah.
And potentially, maybe not looking to get anything out of this fixture. Well, not looking to get anything out.
No, but they wouldn't have targeted this.
So I would say away win in this one.
Yeah.
Liam?
Yeah, definitely the away win.
Two games in Division 2, just the two this week. And probably the game that with the most interest is Onken take on Maloo. Maloo still firmly in that promotion mix, aren't they, Dave?
Certainly are. They're level on points with Ramsey. They're in fourth place at the moment. They've got the games in hand. Ironically, by quirk of the fixture list, they actually played each other the reverse fixture last week. Maloo on that occasion came out on top 3-2. I imagine it'll probably go a similar way this week. I think Maloo will start as favourites, but Onken, the club as a whole, they'll be on a high because the Combi side have won the title. You just don't know what that feel good factor will do, if they've got players back, who knows, but it should be a good game.
Your old team get anything out of this, Liam?
I know David Rees really well. I think Maloo will have to go. Will get this one, to be honest with you, because they're pushing. It means more to them than what it does for Onkoon. But no, definitely go for Malou.
Tommy?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because when we played against Malou, I'm sure their approach is much different to what it would be against Onkoon, because they'd run up front and pack in midfield and trying to sort of hold us off. But I don't know, I always think, even when we used to play against Onkoon, going there is never that straightforward. Pitch is never ideal either. I think you've always got a chance at home. I'll go for a draw.
Draw? There you go, that's a good shout. One of the rare commodities in Manx football, the draw.
Thank you, Buster, as you said.
Man,
yeah. Yeah.
Terrible bed, man.
The other game, again, this is half two, the league games kick off half two, is Union Mills versus Michael. All day, to me, this looks like a home win.
Yeah, this one looks a bit clear cut, doesn't it? Mills, you know, they're running out of games, they'll want to finish the season on high. We talked about it before, you want to get that momentum going for the next season. Yeah, Mills should be too strong.
So there's no chance of Union Mills getting anywhere near the first division?
No.
Because I think the whole first division celebrated that. Because going there, especially in the winter, is like the worst away trip ever.
Very good.
It's horrible, isn't it?
The boundary
absolutely
park
horrible.
Manx football.
So. Yeah. mathematically now, the highest that Mills can finish is fifth.
Excellent. So, let's keep them there, because I don't ever want to go there ever again. Awful place to play football.
Liam, do you think home win?
Home win.
Right, my favourite part of the week, Dave, Comedy Corner, and Dave reads the weather.
Oh, God, no pressure. So, St Mary's very nearly clinched the Combi 1 title without kicking a ball last weekend, as Peel played out a dramatic match at St George's. In the final game of the season, the Westerners went 2-0 down thanks to goals from Johnny Quirk and Tom Chattle. However, knowing that they needed to get something out of the game to stand any chance of claiming the title for the first time in 5 years, the Sunset City side staged a remarkable comeback. Regular first teamer Sean Kelly kick-started the comeback with a header before Liam knifed and levelled matters in the 81st minute. Then, with a draw looking inevitable, up popped Johnny Shields in the 7th minute of injury time to score a dramatic winner, which puts Peel 3 points clear at the top of the table. Mm-hmm. So now, all eyes will be on St Mary's when they take on Old Boys in their final game. That's still to be confirmed when that's going to take place. Should the Saints claim 3 points, the title will be theirs, tenth and less, the trophy goes west.
Ooh, we'll all have to not play the first team games previously and get down for that one. Well, lucky Swanee, we're all rolling.
There's also a good comeback for Combi 2 at the Niverson Stadium. Malou, they came from 2 goals down to beat newly crowned champions Onkoon.
Put a bit of a party paper there, because it was Onkoon, of course, picking up the...
It was, yeah. Billy Coulter double put the O's in the driving seat, but second half brace from Jordan Krippner and a Mark Hargreaves strike sealed the final win for the Southerners. But I'm sure the O's got over their disappointment pretty quickly as they received the Combination 2 trophy afterwards. So well done to them. I bet it was a bit lively in the Manx Arms that night.
I would suggest it's always lively in the Manx Arms.
Well, it always is, yeah.
Go on then, hit us with the weather. It looks quite nice out the window at the moment. We haven't had much rain this week.
It's been a fairly decent week. It's going to stay fairly cloudy over the next few days with a few outbreaks of light rain, particularly on Saturday morning, but it's also the possibility of sun in the afternoon. So with any luck, we shouldn't have too many postponements.
Factor 10 on tomorrow then, boys.
No.
What's your chance at this moment, Dave?
I reckon there will be a couple.
Oh, you reckon a couple?
Oh, only a couple. Oh, at most.
Pessimistic. Before we go, just a couple of things. If you see this week's Indie, there was the story you wrote about Bala Boots has come to fruition, hasn't it? And Faroz Davies' project to send some football boots to
him and his tutor group at Bala Kameen are sending hundreds of boots over to Nigeria to help underprivileged kids.
We talked about it when he was in with the podcast.
It's a fantastic initiative. I think Bala Boots are going to be set up as a charity officially later on in the year, and they've got more things in the pipeline, but well done. And also received a bit of backing from Connors to Bank.
Yeah, and if you've still got any old boots, you can still donate them. So if you've got any old boots,
we could send Liam's, he'd fit about 5 kids. No, it's a great project. I don't think you're in minor.
Before we go, next week we have a walking football, is it, Noe?
It's a special, yeah.
Yeah, ahead of the Alaman play Wales in a walking football international at the Bowl next Saturday. So we've got Mark Stevens and Tony Sewell in along with
Nick. That's us on a Sunday morning after the game.
It just shows you the pathway to go, Tommy.
I know, yeah. That's my career in the next couple of years.
So we've got them boys in next week. So
One of the highlights of our careers was playing a bit of walking football, wasn't it?
So. Still too fast paced.
Going up against Dudley, but it was something else. Well,
I snapped him, yeah. He was still an MLC at that point.
Right, yeah. I remember use that term, snapping him.
Right, lads, thanks for coming in. Good luck for Saturday. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Maybe you can listen to all our back catalogue, which now numbers over 80, Dave, which is quite scary, isn't it? Audio, including the original Tommy Miller classic.
Yeah, well, between me and Liam Doyle, if we share it, then we'll cover most of America as well. We're going international now, this programme.
Yeah, so audioboom.com/channel/maxfootball. Of course, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and Google Podcasts. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.